Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
Glory to God. You can hear me, right?
Yeah. So when you sorrow because of what you see, you're acting as though your God is not real. And He's real. Wait for His own opinion. Are you in this place? Wait for His verdict. Even though what you're seeing is so real, you can feel it so much. Wait for God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Back to verse 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. It says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Praise the Lord. So let me tell you something. The choice is yours. Maybe you heard bad news. You can choose if you want to make things worse or you want to make things better. One way to ensure you're making things worse is to start crying or start evangelizing the bad news. You know, there are people like that. There are people like that. And if you're here, please change. Don't be that way. There are people that the first point of meeting them is problem. It's always their problems. Their problem has gone their baby. Any house they enter, the first thing they're talking about is their problems. This is our health challenge. We have been buying medicines. We've been buying this. Everybody that knows them knows their problem. That's their evangelism. That should not be you. Are you in this place? No, don't elevate the problem. It will get worse. It says, the sorrow of the world worketh death. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So if you're looking for a solution, one way to not do it is to cry. There's a better way. Go to Philippians 4, verse 6. Are you in this place? Say, I'm listening. Only those in front are listening. Say, I'm listening. All right, Philippians 4, verse 6. He says, I'll read it. If you're there, say, I'm there. Is he on the screen? Should we wait? Let's wait. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. When you face a challenge, you are the one that will choose how you want things to go. If you want it to be worse, you can cry. But if you're actually looking for a solution, there's something you can do. You know, you find out in life, most people are not looking for answers. If they, for example, that person has been carrying around the problem like a baby, the day there's a solution, she'll be shocked. They're not expecting it. They are so used to it. They're not expecting it. It's like someone who says, this, my brother, is a fool. This, my brother, is just bad. He's the black sheep of the family. Not my own brother, though. Are you in this place? He's the black sheep of the family. He's always giving us troubles. Anytime the person goes to the auntie, relative's house, is the brother. Always giving us troubles. Always this. Always. That's how they start conversation. That's how the visit moves from 5 minutes visit to 1 hour. He's talking about this brother. This brother. The day the brother changes, what do you think will happen? Nothing to gist about again. They'll be shocked. So if you want true solution and not just to be talking about the problem because you want something to say, there's something you can do. One thing you should not do is to sorrow like the world. What you should do, he says here, be careful for nothing. Another render says, don't worry about anything. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, no matter what it is, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. This is so important. You know, there are people that, let's pray now. They pray. Amen, amen, amen. You see, they are not encouraged. Are you in this place? They are not, you know, amen. In fact, they go back even sadder. What happened? Didn't you just pray? Didn't God hear you? Are you in this place? But they are sad. Will they get an answer? No. In fact, if they got an answer, they'll be surprised. See their expectation. So let's pray. Pray for the family. They go back home, they are sad. It shows in their communication. But that's not how you do if you want a solution. If you want a solution, he says, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Why are you thanking him? Because he has heard you. Do you know God made the ears? There are people that you have to talk to them 3 times before they get something. For example, they're going to get up. Get up. Get up. And then they get up. People like that. If they hear in threes, you must say it 3 times before they get it. Let's worship. Let's worship. Lift your hands if you know God is alive. You know, you have to say it 3 times. God made the ears. He doesn't need for you to talk 3 times. Are you in this place? once you talk, he can hear you immediately. And that's why he says, in everything, by prayer and supplication, add thanksgiving. Because you know he has heard you and he's going to do something about it. Are you in this place? You know, it doesn't cost God anything to help you right now if you're going through problems. It doesn't cost him anything. But the question is, do you want a solution? Or do you want to continue the way you are because it's sweet? Because people are pitying you. If you want a solution, then stop crying. In the eyes. You know, when you cry, you even look older, your eyes get redder, there's headache, praise the Lord. Even physically, things are worse. So stop crying. If only when you cried, money will come out of your eye, they will say, be crying. But crying doesn't help. He says, in that situation, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Immediately you're done praying. And your prayer should not be complicated. Except you're speaking in tongues. It shouldn't be complicated. Jesus said, don't be like the Gentiles. They think they'll be heard for their much speaking. People that, you know, when they pray to God, they act as though God did not go to school. So they start speaking big grammar. Oh Lord, omnipotent, merciful one. You know, they are so unreal. You just wonder, this God, he knows that's not how you talk in real life. Or do you know? He knows. Everyone will talk about God, their voice change. They become something else. And God is just looking, look now, after they said, look, after he's done praying, see as he's talking to his friend. He said, God can hear you. So make it simple. Be specific. Say what you want. Are you in this place? Then thank him. That's all. You know, most times, especially growing up, maybe in this country, of course in the world, people think that when it comes to God, you have to put a lot of effort. But the most important thing in your life is salvation. How many effort did you put inside? Nothing. So if the most important thing you did not put effort, why do you think for simpler things? God has to be cajoled. He has to be punched. I told you, some people, they are praying. You think they are praying fervently. No, they are angry with God. Do it, Lord. Giving God uppercut. Answer me. You think they are moving forward? No, they are kicking their angel. Praise the Lord. No, Jesus said, don't be like that. That's how the Gentiles behave. Do you remember when Elijah told the other prophets that the God that answers by fire will be God? Do you remember? If you don't remember, you should be reading your Bible. Ah, you're missing too much. Let me just tell you, you're missing too much. But the Bible says that Elijah had the other prophets of Baal. And the Bible says, you know what these prophets did? They tried to make their gods call fire from heaven. See display. The Bible says they were cutting themselves with knives. Think about it. For their God to answer. They were just spilling their blood, killing themselves because their God would answer. And Elijah was laughing at them. He said, shout. Maybe your God is sleeping. Shout. Maybe he went to the market. But when it was time for Elijah to call upon the one true God, he didn't need to cut himself. In fact, he told them, that sacrifice puts more water. Pour more water. Praise the Lord. What do you think God was thinking in heaven when Elijah was saying that? Gabriel, this man wants to embarrass us. Who told him to pour water? This was already tough. You think that's what he thought? No. He's bigger than anything. He told Sarah, I am the Lord. Is there anything too hard for me? There's nothing too hard. So when you're praying, make it simple. Talk to him like you talk to your friend. Because he hears you when you talk to your friend, so he knows when you're faking it. Are you in this place? Make it simple. Someone is bothering you. Maybe you need rent. You know, some people will be shocked. You require the cash. So be straightforward. Are you in this place? Heavenly Father, this is what I require in the name of Jesus. I know you provided for me. Thank you for the money. I give you thanks. Thank you, Father. And when Jesus talked to God, you know it was very simple. Very simple. And God answered, oh, let me show you. Go to John 11. I'm going to show you two things. That's when you see, you learn from Jesus how to talk to God. Thank God we learn from Jesus how to talk to God. All right. John 11, verse 41. John 11, 41. It says, then they took away the stones from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that thou hast heard me. Verse 42. 42. How did you go back? And I knew that thou hast heard me. Thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it. That they may believe that thou hast sent me. Praise the Lord. Let's go back to 41. See how Jesus talked to God. He said, Father, I thank thee. Do you know what he wanted to do? Hi. Do you know what he wanted to do? He wanted to raise the dead. There are different types of miracles. Are you in this place? There's a miracle of healing your headache. There's a miracle of God giving you 5,000 naira. Praise the Lord. There are different levels of faith. I feel right now that they will shake heaven just for 5,000. Glory to God. You know, when I was on 400 level, I remember I required cash. Still was 20,000 naira. And I was praying. And I heard myself saying something. It was when I heard myself, I stopped and laughed. I said, in the name of Jesus, from the north, south, west, east, I command the 20,000 there. And then I just stopped. I said, I'm commanding 20,000 from the north. But it was big money, praise the Lord. All right, so there are different types of miracles. Yeah, you wanted to raise a man that had been dead for days. What kind of prayer do you pray before you go to that kind of meeting? If someone told you, Saki, come. Someone has died for 3 days. Come and raise the person up. You say, wait. Give me someone's retreat. Are you in this place? And when you even got here, you don't talk to anybody because it's a serious meeting. You know, the way you pray to God, people know, this dead body must rise. But see how Jesus talked to God. Because God is not deaf and is not a statue. He did not put any requirement that until you shout, sweat, and roll on the floor, I will not answer you. Look at this. It says, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Verse 42. And I know that you hear me always. That's all. And guess what? The miracle happened. So, if it's money you require, because let me tell you something. God is not repelled by requesting for money. If it's money that you require, ask for it. If your faith is not there yet to stand on the word, in quotes, do you understand? You can ask for it. Hezekiah, the Bible says, the king of Syria, Assyria, sent letters to Hezekiah, threatening Israel. You know what Hezekiah did? He took the letters to the altars of God. He put the letter on the altar and said, God, see. And you know, that's faith. Because it takes faith to show a God you cannot see letter, believing he has eyes. And the Bible says he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's faith. He took the letter, put it on the altar, and said, God, see what they have said. And God sends Isaiah to talk to him. He said, see that king of Assyria, don't worry, you will hear a news that will chase him, and then in his own country he will die. You won't even need to fight him. See how God responded immediately. It was the same chapter. So, nothing is hard for God. If you really want a solution, there's a way out. Go to your closet, to your room. Talk to a God that is real. Talk to him because he's real. And then when you're done, be thanksgiving. Don't press it. God have mercy on us. No, you know he doesn't like it. Let me tell you something. Go to John 12. I want to show you something. Oh, you still have to check Malachi 3. When you look at Malachi 3, all right? The Bible says that God said something to the children of Israel. Pay attention to me. This is so important. He said, your words have been harsh against me. Okay, let me show you. Malachi 3. I think we will have to do part 2 of today's meeting. But Malachi 3. Verse 13. It says, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. I want to read from a simpler version, CEV. It says, you have said horrible things about me. God was complaining to the children of Israel. He said, it was not fire and brimstone. You people are sinners. He said, no. I've been hearing what you're saying about me, and it's very bad. So let's hear what they were saying that God was very touched by. No, imagine if you really liked someone and you were going to the person's house, but before you opened the door, you heard the person talking about you. The person said, I don't even like her. She's always disturbing me. You'll feel it. Won't you? All right. So they didn't know why they were talking. God was listening because they acted like he was not real. But he's real. He can hear you. He says, your words have been stout against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? He said, I know you're asking right now, what have you said? So I'm going to tell you. Verse 14. He says, you have said it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? Do you know there are people like that? They say, I've been going to church all these years. What's the point? They don't know. God heard them. He said, you have said it is pointless to serve me. There are people like that. Look at your life. You are suffering, suffering. You've never asked God. Why? Because you think it is pointless to ask him. You've asked your uncles, all your uncles from three generations ago. You've said they're all wicked because they cannot answer. How about God? Are you not serving him? Look at this. He said, you have said it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? What's the point of keeping his law? This Bible, they say we should read and keep. What's the point? There are people that talk like that. They don't know God can hear them. He says, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts. That means we have behaved ourselves well before his presence. What's the point? So I'm going to tell you that you don't club, you don't drink, yet you're suffering. And you two join and say, it's true. No, not you. Verse 15. He says, and now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that walk wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. He's saying that this is what they are saying. They're saying it's pointless. Why have I been serving God? Look at that guy that is proud. He's happy. That guy that is not serving God, he's okay. That guy that is wicked. I mean, he's been set up in this place. He's made for life. So while you're saying that because you're so upset, God is hearing you. Oh, and you don't know what he had planned for you. Verse 16. He says, then they that fear the Lord spake often one to another. You see, some people were smart. When they heard that God heard what they were saying, and it was not nice, those that feared God heard that, then they started talking with themselves. Praise the Lord. He says, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord heard it. He hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, and that thought upon his name. So there are two different types of people. There were those he complained about that they said it is vain to serve God. Then others heard it and said, oh, all right. So we, when we are talking about God, we'll talk about his goodness. We'll talk about the power of his name. And the Bible says God also heard that one and said, write their name in a book of remembrance. I told you about the book of remembrance, right? Book of that means that while they are talking about him, nothing might be happening right now, but there's something planned for the future. When that book of remembrance is opened, all of a sudden, oh. You even be wondering, did I pray a lot this week? What's happening? No, it's true. Remember Mordecai. The Bible says that he saved the king, Ahasuerus, from two people that wanted to kill him. But they did not reward him. They just wrote what happened in the book of Chronicles. But they did not reward him. Think about it. Imagine you saved the president and nobody called you. First week, he said, they'll soon call me now. They will announce it on TV. They'll put it on national news. Nobody calls you. Second week, third week, 3 years. For one day. The Bible says the king could not sleep. That was the time that Esther and the rest had started fasting and praying. The king could not sleep. So he woke up at night and said, I can't sleep. All right, bring. It's amazing. You could have told him, I can't sleep. Bring someone to dance for me. But no, he said, bring the book of Chronicles and read to me. Read me stories. Are you in this place? And what they were reading, they go to the part where they recorded that Mordecai helped the king. And he asked, was anything done for this man? Now Mordecai at that point had probably forgotten. He was not expecting anything anymore. He was on his own, outside the king's palace as usual. And all of a sudden, someone called and said, come Mordecai, things have changed. That's the book of remembrance. So at times you're doing the right thing, you're serving the Lord. You're talking about his name and someone says, but this is where you are. Leave them. Your name has written in the book of remembrance. When it begins to happen suddenly, you won't think, but what's happening? It's not like I prayed or fasted though. People are just calling you. You know, there is the grace of God. Receive it. You know, there are different types of things that can happen in your life. And for someone here, this will happen to you. You know, at times, you're looking for a job. You're looking for a job. You're looking for a job. Looking for a job, and the only one they finally managed to give you, you take it because you need the money. But there's grace where all the great jobs you want, they all give you offer letters. Now you just choose. You just choose which one is better for you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Verse 17. He
they shall be mine. Oh. Think, this is where I fear the Lord. Remember what was written. It was not book of action now. It was book of remembrance. Meaning that God has set a date where they will just see his goodness. But it wasn't then. But up until then, God says they shall be mine. Meaning wherever they go, I'm looking at them. I'm looking out for them. Are you in this place? Imagine if you were the COO of a particular company and they are doing interviews and your nephew is among the applicants. When everybody is sending CV, you pick your nephew's own up. You say, this one is mine. Are you seeing that? So this one is mine. Treat it properly. God says they shall be mine. Meaning that when you have lots of people struggling, at that point, God will show up and just pick your own. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me tell you about the grace of God. We'll have to continue next week today. Let me tell you about the grace of God. So, you know, when I tell you, you can believe for what is possible. You know, when that grace begins to work, even your mistakes, are you in this place, would not be seen. Because that is something God can do. The Bible tells us that Jesus appeared to his two disciples going to Emmaus after he resurrected. And their eyes were beholden. They didn't know it was him. They didn't know it was him. Got to the same house. In fact, they talked on the road. Oh, and he said, I'm going so. He said, no, come on, stay with us because they like what he was saying. They didn't know it was him until they sat down. They still didn't know it was him. But what was surprising was when they shared the bread, he took it. You know, it's only the owner of the house that should take the bread and break. Do you understand? Well, he took it because he's Lord. He took it, break it, and they saw him, he disappeared. Then the Bible tells us that Peter was arrested. Glory to God. Before Peter, the apostles, all 12 of them, was Matthias, were arrested, put inside prison, kept with soldiers. The Bible says an angel of the Lord came and opened the prison and told them, go out. Took them to the temple and said, go and keep preaching. The soldiers there did not see them move. When they came to look for them, those soldiers were still outside guarding prison. And they didn't sleep off. It's a different thing if they slept off, then they escaped. God's children don't escape like that. No. They walked. Think about it. Their eyes were open. 12 people with an angel watching. Then same thing with Peter. Peter's own was more serious. They took him out. Ending prison. Bound his hands. Bound his legs. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
And Peter was sleeping, ready to die. Then the angel came, tapped him, took him. The soldier, the Bible says, Herod put 4 quaternions of soldiers. That means 4 soldiers doing 4 shifts. You know, most times it's 2 shifts. Morning shifts, 9 shifts. But he said 4, so nobody would sleep. Are you in this place? So morning, mid afternoon, evening, night. Do you understand? 4, meaning they were not sleeping. And the angel took Peter and left. 4 of them were there standing. Looking. Bros Alpha. The day. Peter was gone. They didn't hear the noise. And then they got to the major prison gate. And the Bible says the gate, this was a big gate. The gate opened to them of its own accord and nobody heard the noise. Nobody came out and said, what's going on? What's going on? Did you hear that sound? Nobody. Then the angel took St. Peter to the street and said, you can go. And left. That was when Peter came and said, it's not a vision. It's true. I said, God can so, if you made a mistake, he can so correct it or ensure that mistake is not seen. Just like they didn't see Peter as he was living. That's how they will not see the mistake that you made. That's what God can do. That day of remembrance comes when you need it. Are you in this place? And also when you want it. So there are times that maybe, normally you're always punctual, always punctual, always punctual. But the day that the CEO, owner of the company from India is coming for inspection, that's the day you just thought, why am I always punctual? Why am I always punctual? Then you stay at home. And then they want everybody there. You're not there. But see, if you have been thinking on the, because let me tell you something, it's not about arm of flesh. It's about who's with you. That day, when they want to punish you, God says they shall be mine. Meaning that even though you're not the only person they want to punish, he will pick you out, single you out, and say, not this one. Leave this one. Are you in this place?
Yeah.
I came all this place to tell you that God hears. So when you want to pray, if you're really looking for a change, a solution, you would pray about it and make it simple. And I was trying to tell you that how Jesus prayed, right? So we learn from Jesus. Go to John chapter 12. One last one before we go. John 12. You love this one because it's so amazing. Verse 27. Now Jesus is talking. Are you in this place? Now remember something. Please pay attention. All right? Learn something from the Bible at this. Pay attention to this. When Jesus came, he told his disciples not to go and preach to the Gentiles, but to the children of Israel. All right? Because the promise was to them first. All right? And so they went to preach to the children of Israel. And that was it. He was Jesus Christ of Nazareth, not Jesus Christ of the world. He was not global then. He was just in Israel. Are you in this place? Great. But, you know, as he was running up the ministry, because remember, even though he was Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he was for the world. God sent him to die for the world. He said, for God so loved the whole world, not Israel. And he said, for God so loved Israel, that he sent his only son. He said, for the world. So when he was getting to that point where he was going to die and fulfill that ministry, there had to be some signs. And one of the signs was that all of a sudden, Gentiles started asking to see him. Are you in this place? Meaning that, yes, Gentiles will now realize that he is also the Savior. So while he was in Jerusalem, John chapter 12, all right? Some Gentiles came to meet, you know, Philip and Andrew and say, we want to see Jesus because Jesus had some protocol, all right? So Philip and Andrew came to meet Jesus and they said, sir, some people want to see you, but these are not Jews. These are Gentiles. So he took it as a sign. By saying that, he knew his time had come. And that's why he said, 27, now is my soul troubled. Imagine if we're Philip and Andrew, he came to tell him, someone wants to see, he said, now my soul is troubled. You'd be like, are those guys thieves? What's going on? Right? He says, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. So he said, look, now I'm concerned, because the death is near. For Gentiles to come and be looking for me, it means that it's almost time. He's saying, so, should I pray to God to deliver me from this? No, this is why I came. He didn't just come for Israel, he came for the Gentiles also. He says, for this cause came unto this hour, verse 28. Father, glorify thy name. Now remember something. He was talking to the disciples first. Philip and Andrew, he get the picture. He tells them, now is my soul troubled. Or should I ask God to save me from this hour? No. This is why I came. Father, glorify thy name. A voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again. Yeah. So while he was communicating, God was hearing him. God was looking at his response. He knew it was time for him to die. You know, we talked about the month of satisfaction last month. It was time for him to die. But look at his response. He could have said, Father, I don't want to do it. He says, no. Father, glorify your name. God said, all right, I've glorified it. And let me tell you something. Learn this. Verse 29. People, therefore, that stood by heard it. God was so pleased with Jesus. You know, in John 8, verse 29, he says, the Father that sent me is always with me because I always do those things that please him. He was so pleased with Jesus that when he spoke, it was not an inner witness. He spoke from heaven. That was how pleased he was. Jesus is saying, Father, glorify thy name. Just casually, it wasn't a strong prayer. Do you understand? And God from heaven thunders. I have glorified it and I'll glorify it again. That stood by heard it. Then others said, it's a thunder. Because, you know, it was loud. Others said, an angel spake to him. Verse 30. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me. He's saying, the reason why you heard it is not because of me, because you don't need to hear it. You still say it. My point is, God hears what you're saying. At times, he might thunder. Most times, he would not thunder, but he's still saying it. Jesus said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. You see, you're the one that needs physical proof like this. Are you seeing that? You know, like that person that's saying they are praying, they want God to talk to them like Samuel. Oh God, talk to me like Samuel. No, it's unbelievers that need physical proof. We have a witness in our spirit, and we have the word of God, and that is enough. Same Jesus in the previous chapter said, Father, I thank you because I know you hear me always. 11 verse 42. So he said, listen, the reason why he thundered is not to make me happy. Because there are people here. If you were praying and God said, you may have heard you. You look around, there's nobody. You check your phone, there was no message. God said, I'm the one talking. You feel very special, won't you? Come on, talk to me. Won't you feel special? Imagine you enter your room and then God said, my daughter, welcome. And you heard it. And people came out and said, did you hear that thing? And God said, yeah, it is me. I'm greeting my daughter. Even if you have been arguing since that God did not call me, all of a sudden you say, I have a prophetic ministry. I can hear from God. You feel special. You see, but Jesus is higher than that. He's telling them, listen, I don't need this voice. Can you be like Jesus? I don't need a voice. I already know he hears me. Are you saying that? So, when you pray, he says, I said, if you want a solution, you will pray. You will add thanksgiving. You don't need a voice. You don't need thunder. Say, I've answered you, my son. Now there will be fire. You don't need it. You know that he has heard you. Are you in this place? And so you give thanks. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, thank you, Father. While you're sitting down there with all your heart, say, thank you, Father. Thank you for your word that is guiding me. Irrespective of what I might face, I remain joyful because I know all things are working together for my good. Just go ahead and thank the Lord.